Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Raymond Day. I'm Vice Chair of the True Commission, and as Acting Chair, I will call this meeting to order. Here's we do have a quorum, Mr. Clements. Right. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the April 6th meeting?
I move that the minutes be approved with any necessary corrections.
Does anyone?
Thelma Roundsville.
Second.
Does anyone see any needed corrections? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
I think it would be appropriate at this time. I see some new faces. I don't see anything on the agenda. I would like to ask our new members to briefly introduce themselves. Oh, I'm sorry.
They're new to you.
But we do need to go around the dais and ask everybody to introduce themselves.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
Carter Jones, City Council President.
Bruce Tyson, Southwest CPAC.
Raymond Day, Southeast CPAC.
Charles Barr, City Council President.
Thelma Roundsville, Northwest CPAC.
Do we have any public comment?
The only member of the public is actually a new city employee. Corey Armstrong has joined the City Council Research Division as of this week, coming over to us from the Kids Hope Alliance. So I'm just showing him around and introducing him to all the things that the Council Research Division does. So,
welcome, sir. Do you have any comments to make since you're a member of the public? All right. We have auditor's reports.
Yes, sir. Through the chair to the commission, the Council Auditor's Office released three reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 813B, follow-up on the Tourist Development and Convention Development Taxes Audit, was released on April 11th, 2023. This was the second follow-up and from this audit. There were two issues during this there were three issues prior to this follow-up. There were two issues that were cleared, and there's one remaining issue that it's that's left open. That was an opportunity for improvement. They're not collecting taxes from peer-to-peer property rental companies. Peer-to-peer property rental companies like Airbnb do not submit tourist development and convention development taxes to the city. We recommended the administration work with applicable parties to decide on how to proceed this issue. This is an original audit. As of the first follow-up, the Finance Administration Department indicated that due to zoning issues, the proposed ordinance that sought to resolve the matter failed to pass, and so there's still no agreement in place. So we were leaving this open. The administration responded to our letter when we asked about the status of this issue. And the administration was, I can read their response. It says, we continue to agree with the recommendation of ensuring that short-term transient accommodations are paying the taxes that are required under Florida law. While we cannot enter into an agreement with the major booking companies without council authority to ensure that their listings are automatically collecting and remitting local taxes, we have onboarded an audit firm to audit the individual accounts that are registered directly with the tax collector. While this ensures more accurate collection for currently registered accounts, it does not capture those who are not individually registered either on purpose or incorrectly assume the booking platforms are doing this for them. We will work with the next administration and the City Council to assess the appetite for bringing an agreement between the city and major short-term hosting companies to City Council for their approval. So basically, we'll be out there. It's up to the body whether they want to pass this agreement or not. So just become a moot point at that point, whether there's not an appetite, you know, fault at that point. Not something that they're doing, in other words, outside of their control. Something outside of their control has to happen. But that'll be there will be a C to follow up on that one. Second report was 845A.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I had a question.
Mr. Chair, do we know or anybody have any idea?
We're talking approximately estimated lost revenue of about $500,000. There's not an agreement with the companies, so. But it's about $500,000. Report number 845, which is the follow-up on license fees. Adult bookstores audit was released on April 11th also. This audit, the original audit, had six findings, and all six were cleared, so this was... all the issues were cleared on this one, and so this audit will be closed from that. Questions on that one? Third one was report 846A, follow-up on Kids Hope Alliance grants audit was released on April 18th, 2023. There in the original audit, there were 24 issues. Mainly dealing with the lack of standard operating procedures, grants not closed out in a timely manner, and unused funds that remained were repurposed without securing evidence of grantor's authorization to do so, just among several of the issues. I will say that this follow-up, Kids Hope Alliance had cleared 23 out of the 24, so they did a good job of getting serious and cleaning up this. There's one issue remaining, and it's the remaining funds were not always managed and tracked properly. Found in some testing that we selected three grants for testing and found that none of the three have been completely closed out, even though each were at least 90 days past the end of the grant period. KHA responded, they agree with the auditor's findings, and the following action will be taken to improve the situation. KHA will continue to work with General Accounting to reconcile and ensure grants are ready to be closed in a timely manner. As indicated, the KHA finance team has implemented a system of checks and balances that minimizes the risk of error in calculations and carry forwards. Follow up again, that we'll follow up with that one item and hopefully we'll close that and it'll be closed. If there are no questions on this one, yes, sir.
So, if I'm correct in recalling some of the timing on this, the initial audit was conducted just before or just after Mr. Weinstein came in as CEO. And he committed to rectifying some of the shortcomings, as I recall.
That's correct.
Okay. And so this is a follow-up, and he has been at Kids Hope Alliance for 3 years he was there.
I think including during the pandemic, I believe so, yes.
All right, and am I correct in understanding that he has now relinquished that role and there's a new individual as CEO?
I don't.
Okay, then I must have misread something somewhere. All right, so Mr. Weinstein is still CEO. So the progress that has been made under his tenure has rectified 23 of the 26 items.
23 of the 24.
23 of the 24, okay, so. Questions?
Our report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We have a discussion scheduled on our capital improvement program. Mr. Clements, do you want to offer some background comments and direct our discussion?
Well, I will do the best I can with the cold I'm fighting. There are a number of things in your stack of handouts that are relate to the questions that you posed at the last meeting. Let's see.
So I see some red and blue comments.
Let's start with that one, the red and blue.
Could you identify who Kathleen Collins
color
and
page is? Sikolas.
Sikolas.
You all had a number of questions about the CARE system and how that plays into the capital improvement program development come budget time. Kathleen Collins is the new CIP administrator in the finance department, and Monica Sikolas is the manager of the CARE system. So you asked if there was a way that CPACs can find out what the most reported CARE issues are in their district, because that plays, we were told that's what plays into things getting into the CIP. Monica said that the MyJack system can develop a report for CPACs, and that reports are currently available at the council district level, so the council district members can get those. Are the most reported CARE issues reported to city council members and to the administration's CIP committee, development committee, on a regular basis? From Monica, District 6, 8, 9, and 10 do get monthly reports because they've previously requested those. Other council members could have them if they want them. Kathleen Collins said the CIP committee meets annually to start the CIP budget process, and the division chiefs present their project lists, some of which is based in part on what came out of what is pending in the CARE system. On Ms. Roundsville's question about anonymous reporting and whether that had any impact on the CARE system, this was something I was unaware of, but in the blue, sort of down towards the bottom, 2 years ago, SB 60 passed in the Florida legislature and became effective in November of 21, and that's the bill that prohibited the anonymous reporting of complaints and such, so that you are the city's CARE system will not investigate or refer anything unless they have a name and a phone number or an email address from the person making the complaint. That relates to this piece with the box in the middle that shows that, and that went into effect November of 21 was when they had to post that change on the CARE system. It does not appear to have reduced the volume of requests so far. Fiscal year 23, as of last week, we were coming up on halfway through the fiscal year. So if you double that number, you get 242. So it looks like it has not impacted on the number of complaints in any noticeable way. This page, you all asked for the matrix of how the projects are ranked, and this is the scoring matrix that they use. It's an example of one project. This is a fire station construction project. Let's see. You asked for, is the CIP development process in writing somewhere? That's the sections from the ordinance code that talk about how it needs to be developed. And I think that may be everything. Yes, I think that's everything I have that related to your questions from last time.
Any other questions from the commissioners? I regret that I was unable to be here last month. My wife was in intensive care. She has since come out of that, is doing much better. But I'm sorry that I was not able to make the meeting last month. She's doing much better. Thank you. So, any other questions? Next item are the committee reports. The audit committee, Mr. Clements, is somewhat dormant since the passing of Mr. Roberts.
Correct.
And I had offered to take over legislative tracking, and I must confess that the last month of my life has been a little complicated, and I have not been able to do anything to track items that have been recently introduced. Has anyone else been following new legislation or have any comments, any issues of particular concern that might be coming up before the council? All right. I will.
I noticed it cost $100,000 for the
Lawsuit or the. Oh, I would have assumed it would have been much more than that.
Well, they waived. I think that's only the lawyer fees, maybe. They waived something, according to.
Yes, that.
Was that an ordinance that was introduced? Legislation?
Yes, introduced, and it'll be. It was in committees this week. It'll be up for emergency action at council next Tuesday. It approves the settlement agreement that's been negotiated between the city and the plaintiffs over the redistricting maps, and it appropriates $100,000 for the plaintiff's attorney's fees because it was a civil rights case.
And do we know what the city spent for its fees, its legal fees to defend its
That I do not know. They're originally, excuse me, Councilmember Priestley Jackson introduced a bill that would have appropriated up to $1 million for the appeals and all. I don't think that, I think that one's still pending. And so the OGC has been doing it just out of their
regular
existing
budget.
Current budget.
Okay.
I don't have no idea what they might have spent on it, but.
Did you say a million or billion?
A million.
That was his head cold ceasing.
That's the cold talking. I will also tell you that in committees this week, Jason Teal, the general counsel, came and talked about the settlement agreement. And if I'm remembering correctly, he said that the plaintiffs originally asked for $1 million or maybe $1.1 million in legal fees. And in the course of the negotiations, they ended up settling on just $100,000 to, and then we'll all be out of this. So that, assuming that City Council approves that bill next Tuesday night, the plaintiffs have already signed it. The city will then sign it, and it'll be delivered to the federal district judge who's overseeing the case, and the bill says it will become effective upon the final approval by the judge of the settlement, and then both parties have agreed to dismiss any other appeals or litigation that might still be pending. He did, Jason Teal did say there's one little sort of outstanding thing left in that deal, is that in the settlement, the plaintiffs reserve the right to ask the judge to order that two school board district races, districts 4 and 6, be contested in 2024 rather than the 2026 election when they're normally scheduled, on the grounds that with the redrawing of the districts, the voters in those two school districts are going to be represented by somebody that they did not vote for originally and would not get a chance to vote for 3 more years. And so they have the right to do that. Jason said the city will very much oppose that, but because they have the right to ask for it anyway, they left it in the settlement. They can ask the judge, and the judge will do what she will on that.
Interesting. Any comments on the settlement agreement? All right. Brings us to old business. Do we have any old business, Mr. Clemens?
None of which I'm aware.
Do we have new business?
We do have two items of new business.
Let me ask a question on the first one, election of officers. Given the fact that Mr. Henry is not present, is it appropriate to consider that we would defer the election of officers until next month, or are we required by ordinance to select officers during the May meeting?
You are not required by ordinance, and if you wanted to delay that a month, that's perfectly okay.
All right. As acting chair, I would entertain a motion to defer the election of officers until the June meeting. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Is there a second to that motion? To defer the election of officers until June.
I'll second it.
Discussion on the motion.
I want to make a statement. Perhaps in the future, because I think you guys did it about almost, not quite a year, I don't know. So, two questions. When does the election supposed to be held each year? I mean, is it annually, biannually, or what?
Annually.
Okay, and what month? Is it the same, was it the same month last year?
I think it's usually in May.
It's usually in May?
I'd have to go back and look at previous year's minutes, but yeah, it's typically in the late spring or early summer, right around this time.
All right, and then secondly, in the future, I guess, like I said, it's only fair when the individuals are not here to possibly defer it. So maybe in the future we can have something in writing, have something in our laws or bylaws or something that kind of defer if the officers are not here. Because I know last time what happened, it happened and I was sick that day, and I missed it. It wasn't deferred. You guys went on and you voted. So I just want to be fair across the board.
Sure. So noted. Any other comments? May we take a vote on the motion to defer the election of officers until the June meeting. Signify by saying aye.
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 I would support it. Is that, what is the vote? We need hands. So just
raise hands, be fine. 3 in favor.
3, not, all right, 3 against.
3
so
opposed.
The motion fails. Okay, so we need to elect officers today. Who would like to offer themselves as chair?
Typically the way it works is that the floor is opened for nominations. Eventually you will need to have someone nominated and a second. But in the past, there is often discussion and about who might want to volunteer, which can kind of make the thing go easier.
Do we know if Mr. Henry has any interest in continuing as chair?
I have no idea.
I have not spoken to him about that.
We're not allowed to discuss anything that might come before the commission outside. I've never had the conversation with him, so I have no earthly idea. So in his absence, I guess we would need to go ahead and choose a chair from those of us who are left in the room. You were a previous vice chair.
Yes, I was.
Would you be willing to step into the role as chair?
What did you say? Wait a minute. What did she say?
Maybe I should have looked to Ms. Roundsville when I asked that question.
What did she say? I didn't hear what did she say?
She said, yes, you would. Is that a nomination?
Yes, I nominate.
I will second the motion.
Okay, I didn't see that either. All righty then.
All right. I would like to ask everybody to please vote in favor of Dr. Chambliss. Please raise your hand.
6 ayes.
All right. For the office of vice chair, I will accept nominations for the office of vice chair.
I would like to nominate Charles Barr for vice chair.
I'll second it.
Y'all just pew, pew.
This is.
Right, both feet.
All right.
Okay.
I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye or raise your hand, please.
Mr. Barr.
5 yeas.
All right.
6 yeas.
Barr is the new vice chair for the office of secretary. Ms. Roundsville, do you have an interest in continuing in that role?
We have
a nomination for a secretary.
I'll nominate Velma Roundsville.
Ooh.
Secretary.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by raising your hand. All right. Okay.
This is kind of a voluntold position.
So we will continue this agenda, and then we will resume with chair's comments. In that time, if Mr. Henry has not returned, then Dr. Chambliss can offer some comments. We have to prepare an annual report. Is that correct, Mr. Clements?
That's correct. In the past, I have drafted something to give to you all to consider. At the June meeting, I will put that together if that's your desire. What I do is basically just comb through the minutes of the last year, list the topics that you all have discussed, guest speakers that you've heard from, any kind of votes you've taken on resolutions or whatever. If there is anything in particular that you would like me to put in there, feel free to give me a call or email me so I'll be sure to not miss that. But I'll send out the draft before your June meeting. You can review it when you get to the June meeting. If there's anything you want added or something reworded, you can make that part of the motion, and I can fix it up after the meeting.
This report that we would be voting on in June would contain items were taken up from June of 22 through May of 2023.
Correct.
Or would it be July of 2022 through June?
Whichever you prefer,
look
really.
Look at prior reports and whatever that time span
is. Yeah, I can look and see.
That time span.
It probably ran through June, so I'm guessing you'd
July
1 be going.
July 1 through June. So July to June time span. All right. Commissioner comments. Do we have any comments from our commissioners? We can go alphabetically. Mr. Barr, you made last month's meeting, and now so you've been to two meetings in a row. What observations would you like to make?
Is that interesting? I read all the emails that Mr. Clemens sends, even though some might be 30, 40 pages. Really enjoy it. I mean, you kind of get the insight of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I knew about the $100,000 lawsuit or lawsuit settlement.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to continuing to do this. I appreciate you guys' vote. I'll try doing good as vice chairman.
Dr. Chambliss, we'll go alphabetically. Mm-hmm. Comments?
No, it's been great. Again, you learn a lot. Mr. Charles had to say, you learn a lot and read it. He sent out some good information to learn about City Jacksonville and what things we need to focus on and sometimes even do research on or either bring somebody here. So it is well.
I will simply echo those comments. So I've been on the. I was confirmed in June of 20, so I have wrapped up next month will be 3 years. I think I have one more year on my term, if I'm correct. Is that, do you have that available?
That is correct.
All right. If there are intervening events that might change my tenure, so be it. But nevertheless, I'll be around for at least one more year,
okay,
if not scheduled for an early departure. Let's see here. So, Mr. Jones, mm-hmm, what are your comments?
Like everybody else, I've read the emails. It's definitely very educational, mm-hmm, and I'm glad to be here. And this is also my second meeting, and definitely learning a lot and ready to just apply it and keep on digging.
Great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right. So that brings us to Ms. Brownsville.
Actually, I'll show you as having, you're serving on an expired term.
Oh, I need to talk to my seat. Well, I do enjoy the True Commission a lot. It gives me the opportunity to learn. And the things that I learn, I enjoy taking it back to my CPAC. Aren't aware of, and so taking the information to CPAC, I think it helps to spread the message.
Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Tyson.
I believe my last year as well.
Your term also expired last year.
Well, I need to ask about mine.
Okay,
I have
you'll
no
be talking
idea
to your CPAC.
Well, it's been interesting. You do learn a lot, and sometimes you read the bills and go, what are they thinking about? You know, there's things that go on that you have no idea that is going on until you read some of the items that come up. And so it's been very enlightening. I see that I'm interested in a lot of those items as well, particularly as it relates to the CIPs and how things get done in that area, in the area. And I think we've done some good digging. One of the areas we looked at was how to decide what area gets what done when,
mm-hmm,
how that plays out. And sometimes that's just surprising, but I'm involved in about two or three other councils that. And so I'm not sure exactly how much longer I'll be able to go. I also mentioned my CPAC, but it took a while for them to bend my arm to take over for my predecessor, Mr. Martin. But I enjoyed it, and I'll be around until we get somebody else to take it. Because I'm leading two different organizations.
All right. So Mr. Henry has not arrived as yet. I will happily, I'll relinquish the chair to the new chair, and I will simply, Mr. Barr will be vice chair for the remainder of the meeting, if that's appropriate, Mr. Clements, and I can just go back into obscurity as a mere member of the commission.
He's supposed to finish the day.
Goodness.
Come sit here and we'll let Mr. Henry take your spot. You can come sit. Put your card there.
You know what?
You have to get used to the seat of power, so.
Oh, you know I have problems with that. Say again? Okay. We're moving right along.
I have a question. What is the process once I go to my CPAC and tell them that my term is expired? Do they send that information to you?
Yeah, what we would be looking for is for the CPAC, by whatever means it uses, to determine who their new appointee is. If it involves, you know, nominating somebody and voting at the CPAC level, or if it's the chair of the CPAC has the power to do the appointing, we would need something in writing, either minutes of a meeting at which it's discussed, where it says, you know, Velma Roundsville is going to be, we want her reappointed, and that everybody voted for that, or however it's done. And then an updated resume, or, I mean, obviously, if it's you, an updated resume, if there's anything that's changed since you last submitted, you don't need to go through the application process again. If it's somebody else other than you, then they would need to go, and I can send them, I can send the link on the City Council webpage to the application that they would have to fill out and get their background check authorization notarized and return that package to us along with a resume. And again, we would need something from the CPAC, either a letter from the chair or copies of the minutes that the CPAC coordinator can get us that, where it's determined who the new appointee is. And then we'll, we can get it going from there. There you go.
So now, Jeff, you're telling people how long, where they are, if they're expired or not. Like, where am I?
Your term expired last June as well.
So what do I need to do?
Your tenure continues until your successor has been appointed.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
You continue to serve until your replacement arrives.
So what do I mean? Anything I need to do? Do I need to reach out?
Council president appointed?
Actually, I don't. You are not eligible for reappointment because you've already served two terms.
Uh-oh. Really? It was always told to me until the end.
You were originally appointed in 2016, and they're three-year terms, so 16 to 19, 19 to 22.
And you were appointed by the council president.
That's a president's appointment. Okay. Ms. Roundsville was appointed in to a partial term.
I was originally a mayor.
In 20. And then nothing ever happened. Your term expired in June of 20. And so, but since you were brand new, I guess nobody thought about having to do it again so quickly.
So what do I mean? I cannot be on serve again?
You've served two full terms, and so therefore are not eligible to be reappointed for a third. Oh, once you sit out. If you sat out for a term, you could come back again.
But she stays until she's replaced.
But she,
oh, okay.
For
okay.
Now, you stay until you are replaced. So.
Pretty, you may be.
Yeah, y'all ain't gonna hose me.
So I actually got a question too, because I'm serving now. I think Mr. Merritt's term.
Yeah, you're serving a term. You were appointed in March of 23 to serve out the end of his term, which is June of 24. So next summer will be time for you to get a full term.
Okay. So where do I stand?
Well, you're good, I think.
Let's see.
No, it's all good. I let Mara.
You're in the same position. Okay. Appointed March of this year, running through June of next year, and then eligible for two full terms after that.
Okay, that was going to be my question.
Yeah, if you serve less than half a term, finishing out the first person's unfinished term, then you get two full ones of your own after that.
That's what I did. I think I came in after someone else. I finished the minus term. I think it's for the mayor office.
Well, I have a question. I don't know if I need to go to you or just ask Jeff. So, which CPAC are you with?
Southwest.
Northwest.
So
is there an urban core also? Representative from Urban Core.
North side or north one.
There is a.
I think it's called north.
There is north a. There is a north.
I go to. Yeah. So do they need to.
Yes. Yes.
Appoint somebody?
Yes.
Because there's only three of you guys here on the CPACs. There's what, six CPACs?
Six CPACs, correct. And as you can see, there's quite a number of presidential appointees that are available, but the city council presidents don't ever seem to think it's worth pursuing.
Yeah.
And the mayor, as I'm told, dating back to Alvin Brown, has never appointed anyone.
There's been one.
You were probably appointed at the tail end of Alvin?
Whoever.
No.
It wasn't Alvin.
Under Curry.
Yeah, I did a couple of months under whoever was in that position before me.
I forget his name. But
Guy. In
action, perhaps we can approach the new mayor again about appointments.
Jeff, if you're able to tell us, is there anybody in the pipeline right now from the city council president or the mayor?
No.
Nobody at all?
Not at the moment.
I've never heard them. I've only been going for 4 or 5 months, but I've never heard them mention it. Yeah, they give certain reports, but I've never seen anything about
that. Who's your CPAC chair?
Mm-hmm. I don't know his name.
Mr. Clements, do you know who chairs that CPAC?
I do know that. So
do we know who the coordinator is from the neighborhoods department?
Could you use that microphone so we can
make it? Do we know who the coordinator is for all of the CPACs so that this information could be disseminated to them and then they can act in their role as liaison to the CPAC to request that any CPAC that has not appointed a liaison does so?
Turn mine on. The Northwest chair is Rhonda Boyd. And their coordinator is Michelle Godwin. Arlington Beaches, we've got that, right?
No.
No, we don't?
That's vacant.
Arlington Beaches.
Mr. Roberts.
The chair is Tim Keeley, and the coordinator is Rosemary Wesolowski. Urban Core. Chair is Bryant Shoemaker. Coordinator, Rosemary Wesolowski.
And Rosemary also coordinates the Southeast CPAC.
Yeah. I think we have two coordinators that have three CPACs each. Six.
So Jeff, perhaps maybe you can send out a letter to those presidents and see if they're willing to appoint someone in those positions, the ones that are available, the ones that are open.
Yeah, I will. What I will do is I will contact the CPAC coordinators and let them know that we have vacancies and ask them to please put it on the agenda for the next CPAC meeting to talk about it.
Where is it for the north side or the north CPAC?
North.
Michelle.
Chair is Dr. Donald Green and the coordinator is Michelle Godwin.
I do want to bring up something, Jeff.
Oh, wait.
Uh-oh.
The new guy just reminded me of something. excuse me. We do have one coming from Urban Core CPAC.
Okay.
Kim Pryor.
Oh, no.
Appointed herself.
I had heard that.
Yeah, she told me that.
Just before she was no longer chair.
Okay.
Oh.
So her.
The CPAC appointed her.
As the president at the time, I guess she appointed herself.
Yes. They're
my CPAC, I mean, we made a motion and the CPAC voted on me.
We had that discussion when my other research person drafted her appointment memo and OGC said, well, where are the minutes of the meeting? And it has long been the tradition that we accept the nomination of the CPAC in whatever form it comes. Some have a discussion, make a nomination, they vote. Others, the chair makes the appointments to whatever the CPAC appoints people to. And if we have a letter or something in writing that says, in fact, it was in the minutes of their meeting that Ms. Pryor said, I'll be appointing myself as chair. So that's what the minutes say.
Raymond, which one are you a member of?
He's served well over two terms as well. So
you were reappointed in 2021?
Yes, 2020.
2020. So mine expires in July.
Well, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but there's a new chair.
That's okay. And I was chair for 3 years. That was bound to happen.
The bad news is she will soon be departing.
Oh, because we were appointed at the same time.
Yeah.
So
I'll absorb until then, and then
so
I'll
the
go out.
The true commission will have to reconstitute itself at the June meeting more than likely anyway. So.
But I will say, though, if history is any indication, the council president, especially since we're going through that transition, mm-hmm. tends to have a large gap in time before they make appointments. I mean, for Mr. Barr and, sorry, I'm butchering.
Jones.
Mr. Jones. Your seats have been open since Anna Brochet was council president. So it may be a while before we actually get an appointment. Mr. Salem may be completely different. I don't know.
Yeah, he
may jump on them, but the last three did it really.
Will. Ron, I don't think he's prone to let things kind of sit around. Mm. And then I think no matter who the new mayor is, I think they would be inclined to fill those vacancies as well. Last official action is you get to call a German.
Yeah.
Unless there are other comments, but I'm run the meeting.
I do have a comment before you adjourn. I do have a comment. I'm not sure if it's too.
No, it's never too late.
So my comment is about the situation. I want to know that all the proper steps, and we can research the proper steps were taken for the new liquor store that's coming up next to Kip.
Well, there should be a radius. Beyond which a liquor
right
store
there.
Cannot locate unless there is a zoning exception or variance.
And I think it is. And it's like right there's a school and there's like they're like side by side.
Do you know any history of
it? They're trying to say that they had already supposedly that they had already had went through the process and they were going to build it and they in other words, it was saying they were the first one to say it was going to come there and then all of a sudden now Kip is there. That's what they're saying, but. I would like to know the process that they do take all the
so
necessary steps.
That they were in existence before Kip.
Correct.
Therefore, it shouldn't apply. Well,
that's what they're saying. We don't
Kip,
know.
Kip should have known. I mean, if that's where they relocated, they located there after the existence of
which
the liquor
Kip?
Store.
Kip on Norwood. I'm curious to know those. That is something I really want more information about. That's horrible. They sit side by side. They always say normally a city councilman knows who comes in the area. They always know about
his district.
Before he resigned?
Norwood?
It was
before he resigned. Don't talk with the daddy, the father. Yeah.
Gaffney Jr. assumed that responsibility.
Right.
Correct.
So
the daddy probably knew about it now. Gaffney, if he.
Well, he'll be there until June 30th, whether or
correct.
Not he's elected
right.
to the new seat.
Correct.
He will be in District 7.
Correct.
June 30th.
Correct. So I'm curious if we can get any information on that, Jeff, that would be good if we could.
I will see what I can find out.
Yes, sir. I got a question as well. Are they just, are they legally planning to fight this out, or is there an actual city council bill about some I know there was a city council bill when they were wanting to put that on. Mandarin, it was that one restaurant where the Village Inn used to be, mm-hmm. and they had a whole bill about it. So, was it being so close to a religious center? That'd be my question.
Anytime there's a land use application, mm-hmm. a rezoning, or an exception or a variance, it goes through the do remember when that came to the CPAC. I don't recall what the disposition of that issue was and what happened after the fact. Do you live in that area?
No, I like reading. So, and actually with that specific thing, they were just complaining about it. I guess it's a big Jewish area over there, and it being so close. I'm at a loss for words. They're talking about their religious center.
Yeah.
Temple.
I do remember that.
But they're there. Yeah. They
don't
the rule.
Yeah. I think they were beyond.
Yeah, they're there. The village is gone now. They got the...
Outside of the limit.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were outside of the limit, so it was a permitted use. The zoning went through. I think they needed an exception to serve alcohol.
Exactly. That's real hard liquor. Hard liquor. Because they can do beer and wine, and just couldn't do hard liquor.
And the requirement was approved, even though there was community opposition, I think.
So with that being said, then, is this still at just the CPAC level, then?
About the Village Inn?
But no, sir, I know that's already done.
Oh,
I'm
we're talking about
the liquor store on
Norwood. That's what I'm
curious to
know.
Well, it depends. The way she described the situation, it could be that the liquor store was open before KIP.
Well, not open.
They're building
it. It's
approved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think regulatory approvals had been granted.
Okay, locating.
I see where we're going.
So,
that's what they're saying.
So it would be, quote, grandfathered in.
I'd like to know, you know. They always say they, you know, not all, I'm not, I hate to say everybody, but a lot of times they'll say they have taken the necessary steps, and then you find out they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Like they stopped the one that was on the north side. They're about to take it, and then they found out they did not take the steps. So. All righty, we're done.
Mr. Henry, Mr. Commissioner comments.
I think the only other thing that happened between that last meeting and this meeting, I always end up talking about the Inspector General each time when I do the report. They're doing the evaluation on, it's looking like it's going to be on May the 15th, on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a formality, but the evaluation will be based on his first year of performance. So that should be interesting, particularly because of what happened in the office in terms of the investigations that OGC had to do. But otherwise, that's the only remarkable thing that's happened since then. So that would be your responsibility. Unless you want me to do that one last meeting before it finishes. They mainly meet quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
So after they do the evaluation, most likely they won't meet again until some point in the fall.
You can't. But the chair of the true commission is automatically a member of that.
Yeah, so the members are, most people send designees. It's technically the mayor, the state attorney, the public defender, the chief judge, the city council president, the chair of the ethics commission, the chair of the truce commission. The only one that actually shows up as themselves is ethics true and everyone else sends a designee.
Bills are referred to one of the standing committees or any special committee of the city council. That's all I can offer.
I will say one thing, especially to like the new members, some of the inherent powers that the True Commission has, a lot of times you don't exercise as much. I think the last time we really did was during the potential sale of JEA. Is that it's written in the ordinance code that legislative services and the council auditor's office is supposed to provide us staff aid whenever we need to be able to do investigations or need to get information. And there's a OGC opinion from when Kevin Hyde was council president, so over 20 years ago, but it essentially means that whenever we request documents from a city agency, independent authority, they have to provide that information. So it's the closest thing to, I don't want to say subpoena power, because it's not that, but it's the closest thing that you can get to it. So a city department can't say no if you want to get information. That's That's my wisdom.
Thank you for your service.
And appreciate everyone allowing me to serve.
You've done well.
I will say it probably would have ended a year and a half ago, but COVID kind of prevented that from happening. But hopefully it's now that we have more members on the committee, kind of like when I first started, we'll be able to do some more stuff than we have been able to do. You're the chair.
There you go again. Okay. All right.
So I move we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Well, it's adjourned. Thank you all for your support. I'll call up.
Yes, we're supposed to.
Election advisory panel? Yeah, a lot of us are.